It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The Republican National Convention in Milwaukee is 3 weeks away, and city leaders are still battling a lawsuit from protest groups over when and where they'll be allowed to demonstrate during the event.
The American Civil Liberties Union filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of the Coalition to March on the RNC. They claim that the city is violating their right to protest freely. Here's Coalition co-chair Omar Flores at a news conference Friday.
The city has decided to completely ignore our asks, our demands, and our First Amendment rights. The proposed protest routes are completely unacceptable.
Meanwhile, the Secret Service announced its security zones for downtown Milwaukee, which include two designated protest areas. City officials say they want to ensure public safety while giving protesters room to organize.
To break down the First Amendment issues involved in this dispute, we turn to Howard Schwaber, Emeritus Professor of Political Science and affiliate faculty member at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Howard, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thanks for having me.
So the Coalition to March on the RNC says it's tried to work with the city here to get the right permits. What stands out to you about the details of this free speech dispute?
Well, mostly just that this is a classic and ongoing problem. And I should emphasize, it is bipartisan. Democrats do it, Republicans do it. One of the first uses of these free speech zones to keep protests away from an event was at a WTO event in Seattle 10 years ago. So the idea is that the law requires that you have rules about the what's called the time, place, and manner of public expression that preserve order and safety, but that leave an adequate avenue for expression. The rules can't be of such a nature that effectively they silence protest. The protesters are claiming that's what's happening here, and that claim has been made in lots of other places, that what's going on is event organizers are shunting protesters off to distant locations where no one will see or hear them, so that, you know, it's like being allowed to speak, but only in a locked closet where no one can hear you. It's not a meaningful right. The organizers, and again, this is bipartisan, the national, and is, you know, really across the board, consistently say, look, we have problems with disruption. We have problems with safety. And of course, historically, occasionally that's happened. And so we're going to allow you to protest, but only in places where there's no risk of it disrupting the event. And in a way, that really points to the issue. An effective protest sort of has to be disruptive, at least to the extent of getting people's attention and distracting them from what, you know, what's going on. And so there really are two opposing fundamental goals here. And the courts have never resolved the question. They've never established when or how these kind of free speech zones are permissible, or when they go too far in isolating protesters from their intended audience.
Howard, you go straight to the heart of this issue, you know, being what is within sight and sound of the major venue for the RNC, Pfizer Forum. Is there a legal definition for what constitutes within sight and sound?
There is not. A couple of lower courts and a couple of particular cases have issued opinions, but the Supreme Court has never weighed in, and there are, if I say there are no guidelines, that's not quite true, but the guidelines are entirely vague. It must be adequate, right? There must be adequate channels of communication. But of course, what constitutes an adequate channel is entirely in the eye of the beholder, which is why this has become the strategy of choice. College campuses are also using this strategy. One way some college campuses have been responding to protests is by designating protest areas and saying the rest of campus is off limits. This is a growing and pervasive tactic to tamp down protests, and as a result, it's become a growing and pervasive issue for First Amendment law that the courts have not at all resolved.
Meanwhile, we hear from the Secret Service director saying, I would like to reassure everyone that the Secret Service and our public safety partners respect every American's First Amendment right to express themselves. Is that kind of statement reassuring to you?
No, of course not. I mean, I'm quite certain that it's personally true. I don't think the leaders or members of the Secret Service hate free speech, but they have a single-minded goal to protect security. That's their job. So they will always err on the side of prioritizing security over free speech. Conversely, the people who want to protest have a single-minded purpose. They want to be heard, and they will always prioritize being heard over a speculative, let's say, risk to security. And there's no resolution to that tension without some outside actor, like courts, establishing a standard and forcing city officials to abide by it. We're really in an undefined zone here, and it's frankly kind of shameful that after years and years of argument about this, the courts have not provided adequate guidelines so that every time there's a public event like this, The outcome almost always errs on the side of security, and almost always the result is that the public, the general public, doesn't see the protests as they're going on.
The ACLU and the city, they tried to resolve this dispute at a mediation session last week. How do you feel about mediation in this case before a federal lawsuit?
Well, I think it's certainly worth trying, and I have no doubt it was a good faith effort. I really think this is an intractable problem, and there's no necessary bad faith on anyone's side. The city's priorities, the Secret Service's priorities, the Republican Party's priorities, and the protesters' priorities are all radically different. In a very real way, this is sort of what law is for, is to establish rules within which these competing interests can be resolved. So I'm glad they attempted mediation. I'm not surprised that it didn't work.
We're talking about the First Amendment lawsuit filed against the city of Milwaukee over designated protest zones at the upcoming Republican National Convention. We have UW-Madison political science emeritus professor Howard Schwaber. Howard, what is the burden that the ACLU and the protest groups will have to prove in court to win a suit like this?
So they will have to prove that the designation of zones and routes for protests does not provide them with adequate channels of communication. And what they'll have to do is make some kind of argument about what an adequate channel would look like and why these are not adequate. So they will argue that the routes that have been assigned to them, the locations that have been assigned to them, are so far away from the events that the general public won't be aware the protests are going on at all, or at least will be unable to hear an articulable message so that effectively they're being silenced. The city's burden will be to respond and argue that what's being provided is adequate, but also to demonstrate some real basis for concern of disruption and security issues, which I think they can probably provide. I would imagine that in federal court, the city and the Republican National Committee will point to the Black Lives Matter protests, for example, and say, see, you see how out of control these things can get? And conversely, the ACLU will point to a long tradition of peaceful protest and say, No, there's no reason to assume this will happen here or that anything bad will happen here. It's all kind of hypothetical and speculative. I have to say that based on the record of cases thus far, I expect the federal court to side with the RNC. Courts have been deferential to concerns about order and security when they're brought by cities or major national organizations. And frankly, our courts are very protective of certain First Amendment rights, particularly religious freedoms these days, but not particularly protective of the rights of protesters to be heard.
So meanwhile, the local law enforcement in Milwaukee designate two stages and a parade route that can be used by protesters during the convention. On these stages, they'll have 30-minute slots, I understand, at the podiums, and the parade groups will leave their starting zone in these incremental times. Is there any case law or precedent around the time limit people have to express themselves on a podium?
Not really. Again, there are these very vague terms like adequate. The Milwaukee police will argue 30 minutes is long enough to say any message you want to say. Their protesters will say this hyper-organized, hyper-constrained form of communication deprives protest of all of its impact and effect. And a federal judge will make a judgment call. I can't emphasize how little there is in the way of guidance here. It is all groping and all very fact-based. I absolutely sympathize with the protesters. I don't know how you can have an effective protest when it is so obviously and minutely organized by the authorities in place, it looks like just a performance. But I do think that it is likely that the federal court will side with the city and with the police on this matter just because security concerns trump everything else. No pun intended on the word Trump.
So the judge set a scheduling conference for the case for later this morning. Here we are 3 weeks out from the start of the RNC. Does that give enough time for a federal court to work through a case like this, even on an expedited timeline?
It does if they want to. I mean, one of the things we've seen recently, particularly from the U.S. Supreme Court, is that when they want to, they can delay a case indefinitely. But in fact, federal courts are able to move quite quickly and quite nimbly. This is plenty of time to reach a resolution. And frankly, it's plenty of time for the city of Milwaukee to respond to whatever the court order the court issues. The worst outcome in some ways would be if the judge allows the matter to drag on for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, you know, and then says, well, we're stuck with what we have because it's too late to ask Milwaukee to change anything. That would leave all questions unresolved and all parties unsatisfied, I think.
Do you think that Chicago is watching? The Democratic National Convention in Chicago, will we see a similar scenario play out here with the tug of war over speech?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's hard not to, I mean, you just use the phrase Democratic National Convention in Chicago, and it's hard not to see the historical reference. Mm. The riots of 1968 started out when the organizers tried to isolate the protesters into Grant Park. Mm-hmm. That's how old this tactic is and how long-standing this controversy is. I think the Chicago organizers are, frankly, more worried than the Milwaukee organizers because they expect bigger and potentially more disruptive protests. So they'll be watching very closely for guidance, frankly, as to what they can get away with in terms of keeping the protesters as far as possible from the event.
In our final moments together, what are you watching for here as the RNC is closing in and these protesters don't have any type of settlement that is within what they feel is adequate?
Well, I mean, there are two big questions. Will the protesters defy the rules and risk arrest in order to make themselves heard? Or will the outcome be one in which there's an artificial public impression that the RNC, you know, is utterly unaffected by any protests of any kind, at least in terms of television visuals, for example? I'll actually be at the convention, and so while I'm there, I'll be watching closely to see whether just subjectively I'm able to hear and see the protesters or if they're just out of sight, out of mind.
Howard, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Howard Schwaber is an emeritus professor of political science and affiliate faculty member at the University of Wisconsin Law School. He was with us to break down the First Amendment lawsuit filed against the city of Milwaukee over the designated protest zones outside of the upcoming Republican National Convention.